T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us. What are you watching this weekend on TV? Well, I hope most of you are getting outside and spending some time in what is presumably nicer weather, warmer weather. It rained all day here on Saturday, which kind of fit what was going on in my house and with those of us who live here in my house. And so we needed the rain, and it was good to have the rain, but it was beautiful weather on Sunday in my neighborhood and nice to get outside. And there were a lot of people that were outside. I have seen some forecasts from around the country for Monday, expected to be hot in some places, but rainy in others. And certainly Florida, as well as Charlotte, North Carolina, getting a bunch of rain on Sunday, but it did not ruin the events that we saw in the sports world. A doubleheader of sporting events. I mean, if you wanted to, you could have started watching golf. It had a bit of a rain delay, but the broadcast was on the air at 12:30 Pacific, 3:30 Eastern time. And then NASCAR didn't finish up until after midnight Eastern. So we're talking about, what, 9-10 hours of live sports, if that's what you were interested in and you want to watch the golf and the NASCAR. I don't expect that all of you sat and did nothing but stare at the TV. That's kind of the job of those of us who work in the sports world. But we're letting you know the highlights for sure if you didn't see it. Pleasantly surprised, though, with how many of you enjoyed the match with Peyton and Tiger and Phil and Tom Brady. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's see. We've got a couple of different things going on. We're asking you what you thought of the match for sure. And I mean, I've already seen several hundred comments from you on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and from our Facebook page. And so I want to get to some of those reactions. And then more importantly and more appropriate for this particular show, who do you honor and remember on this Memorial Day weekend? I'd love to see the photos, and I am going to share some of those as we head through this hour and then on into the wee hours of Monday morning. But this is the kind of a example of a tweet that is out there now. Jeff says, my father, who served in both World War II and the Korean War, as well as any veteran that saw combat, that's who he honors and remembers. John on Twitter, I remember my dad. He was in the Army back in the old days. He was on the ship Hope as it sailed into Japan. He passed away in 1983 at the age of 59 of a heart attack. John is listening from Des Moines, Iowa. Jacob sends a photo honoring his grandfather, Frank Ander, on this Memorial Day. U.S. Army private first class in World War II. So I want to share more of those. And producer Chris is retweeting as well. So send them to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and also on our Facebook page. You all are sharing some very private personal photos, but I know there's pride there as well to be able to share a picture or a gravestone, anything from someone that you're so proud of who served and paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. And so we've pinned it to the top of our Facebook page, and you can see the American flags there in memoriam. Michael on Facebook, my grandfathers fought in World War II and Korea. Lots of my dad's friends found in Vietnam. A few of my friends fought in Iraq and Afghanistan. Most are Native Americans. And so he is, he's thrilled to remember and honor those. Doug says simply, my dad. Tim on Facebook, grandfather who was a Navy CB in World War II, and my uncle who was in the Army in World War II. Sandy on Facebook, my dad, he served in the Coast Guard for 33 years and my grandfather as well. My dad is buried at the Sacramento Valley National Cemetery for our veterans. I also remember all my old friends who perished in the Vietnam War when I was in high school and in college. And so I would encourage the rest of you to go and to read what others are writing and to share your photos and to look at theirs as well. And this is one of my favorite things that we do for holidays, and I hesitate to call it favorite because it sounds like I really love it, but I am moved always by the photos that you share. I'm moved always by those of you who have special connections and want to be sure that your loved ones, whether family or friends, are not forgotten, even if it's been years and years. And the photos always move me too, especially the older ones. So again, on Twitter or on Facebook, we're pleased to share those memories and share in honoring and remembering those who are important to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. You may remember when NASCAR returned a week ago at Darlington, South Carolina, the name of the race, the first race back in more than 2 months, was the Real Heroes 400. Well, on this Sunday before Memorial Day, it is typically the Indy 500 followed by NASCAR and the longest race on its calendar. So instead of 1,100 miles, it was 607, actually. Would you believe it was the longest race in NASCAR history? So it wasn't just 600 miles of regulation, quote unquote, but it was also an extra 7 miles for an overtime, a green, white, checkered finish. And so it's called the Coca-Cola 600 for sure. That's the name of it. And it's a long-standing tradition on Memorial Day weekend. But there was an added element to it because each of the drivers had the name of a fallen hero, someone that they wanted to honor and remember on the windshield of the car that he was driving. And so it was really amazing to not only see them and hear them salute fallen heroes, but then to see the car that is decked out with the stars and stripes and red, white, and blue, Brad Keselowski, who always gets an American flag when he does win, and this was his 31st career victory. He always gets an American flag from his crew, and when he's doing his donuts and sometimes he's, you know, going around the track for a victory lap, he always has the American flag streaming with him as he goes. And it was a pretty dramatic finish. So before we hear from Brad, who got to celebrate his Coca-Cola 600, what he calls one of the majors in the sport, at Charlotte Motor Speedway, I have to tell you about the dramatic finish, because it definitely had a payoff for those of you who were still watching at the end. So this was a race that was dominated by a handful of drivers in stretches. So Kurt Busch, who we're scheduled to talk to on Tuesday, Kurt Busch led. Not only did he grab the pole, so they did do qualifying for this race, but he grabbed the pole for the race in Charlotte. And then in addition, led the first 58 laps. It was something along those lines until they went into the rain delay. And then you had Alex Bowman, who really kind of took over as the dominant car. And he not only won stage one, but he also won stage two. And so he dominated for a while. And then you had there's another guy in there too, but Chase Elliott dominating for quite a while as well. He had a really comfortable lead in the late stages of the race. And this is kind of, it would have been a cool moment, kind of giving it away, but it would have been a cool moment for Chase Elliott after what had happened Wednesday at Darlington. Remember, he was second place. He was getting a really good run on the leader at the time. And he is coming up behind him, and he's feeling like he has a good chance to grab the lead in the late stages when Kyle Busch wrecks him. So Kyle Busch misjudges the gap, remember, and doesn't realize that he doesn't have enough space to move into line. He tries to move up into line, and instead he makes contact with Chase Elliott's car, and he spins him out and sends him into the wall. And so because of that, Chase Elliott flips Kyle Busch the bird, and then there's a confrontation on pit road between Kyle Busch and Chase Elliott's crew chief, who is Kyle Gustafson. All right, so now back to Sunday. Chase Elliott has a really comfortable lead, and he appears as though he's going to cruise to the checkered flag. There are two laps to go. They're on the second to last lap when caution comes out. And that's really the only thing that could have taken away Chase Elliott's lead, other than just a mistake or him losing a tire, something like that. But he's going to cruise all the way home. His lead is nearly 2 seconds at this point over the number two guy, who at the time was Brad Keselowski. And so there's a caution flag. Believe it or not, it's his teammate, Chase Elliott's teammate, who loses a tire, spins out, and pulls out the caution. And so when William Byron spins with a tire problem, Chase Elliott says that's got to be a joke. Over the radio says that's got to be a joke. And, oh gosh, this is just, it's painful for Chase, but he's doing what his crew chief tells him. When they go under caution, Chase, as well as a couple of other cars who are on the lead lap, they come in into the pits and they take four tires, fresh tires that theoretically could give them an advantage over the cars that do not come into pit road. The problem is when you drive down pit road and you get to a pit stop, you give up the lead. So Chase Elliott gives up the lead, and now Brad Keselowski and Jimmy Johnson, who stay on the track. Now, they were going to do the opposite of whatever Chase did. So if Chase and his team decided to pit and get fresh tires, well, then Keselowski and Jimmy Johnson were going to stay on the track and take their chances. If Chase Elliott had stayed out on the track, well, then Brad Keselowski and Jimmy Johnson were going to pit, get the fresh tires, and try to use those fresh tires to overtake Chase Elliott in the final two laps. The problem was there were only two laps left in overtime unless there was another caution. And so it's really difficult to make up that much ground. Even on fresh tires, it's difficult to come all the way back and take the lead again if you have that much ground to make up and you only have two laps to do it. And so it was a gamble either way. And after the fact, after Brad Keselowski takes the checkered flag, now Chase Elliott did work his way all the way back into third. So he used those fresh tires to get back into the top three. Had they had another caution and another couple laps, Elliott likely would have taken the lead again. But as it was, in what, the span of 5 days, he's disappointed and sees the checkered flag go to another driver.
Just trying to, you know, make the best decision you can, and those guys are going to do whatever you know, the opposite of whatever we do. So that's just part of it. And yeah, you know, you make decisions and live with them. And it wasn't the pit call. I think being on offense is fine. And those, like I said, those guys are going to do whatever the opposite of what you do is. So part of it.
Chase Elliott, the son of famed driver Bill Elliott, someone that I used to cheer for when I was a kid, when I was first introduced to NASCAR, known for being such a nice guy and obviously a very accomplished driver. But Chase Elliott, his son, who's been racing other model cars since he was a kid and now is an accomplished driver of his own right at the highest level of NASCAR. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Again, Chase had this comfortable lead and was coasting to the win. I mean, he probably could have gotten off the gas, maybe even was, to be careful, when his teammate spun out, bunched all the drivers up in caution again, and because he and a few others, like Kyle Busch, decided to pit and get fresh tires, they just couldn't make up the ground. By the way, it was Kyle Busch who was first to get to Chase Elliott when he climbed out of the car. Now, remember, just a few days ago, the two of them were at odds. And Elliott had said over the last couple of days, you know what? It's a mistake. It cost us, potentially cost us the race at Darlington. But this is not a guy who makes a lot of mistakes, referring to Kyle Busch, and I'm over it, and we're on to Charlotte. So there it is, Kyle Busch, who is the first to get to Chase Elliott and try to console him after the late pit stop and the loss of yet another race. But it's Brad Keselowski who ends up doing the donuts at an empty Charlotte Motor Speedway. But he's overcome with emotion himself, as he gets his 31st career win, but also gets a chance to honor a fallen hero whose name is on his car.
I know the race ran really late, but Memorial Day is a lot more about more than racing, but we're glad to be able to to get to do cool things like racing because of the freedoms provided by those that are, you know, willing to make those sacrifices, Jamie. And, man, I feel like I've thrown this race away a handful of times, and I thought we were going to lose it today. And I know we've lost it the way Chase lost it, and that really stinks. And today we finally won it that way. And I'm so happy for my team. I wish my wife was here. I wish my daughters were here, but it's a major, you know, it's the Coke 600, and this only leaves one major left for me, the Daytona 500. So we're checking them off, and I'm really happy for Miller Lite. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with them, if they're going to come back on the car or what, but it's been a great 10-year ride with them, and this is, you know, their only race of 2020, and we're in victory lane. I know they're really happy because Miller Lite goes with Memorial Day, but I'm happy for Ford and everybody that just works their butt off at Team Penske. We might not have been the fastest car today, but wow, did we just grind this one out, Jamie. And the pit crew at the end, you know, the stop or the yellow right before the last, just had a blazing stop to get us up front and put us in position. And all these things just came together, and I'm tickled to death, and it's a little overwhelming, to be honest.
Brad Keselowski speaking with Jamie Little on Fox Sports. And if you listen, you can hear the resonance and the echo almost with the empty stands all around him at Charlotte Motor Speedway. So it was the continuation of a longstanding tradition at NASCAR, the Coca-Cola 607. Instead of the Coca-Cola 600, it was the 607, which started four straight days now of racing at Charlotte as NASCAR does this crazy crammed-in schedule. No Indy 500, first time since the 40s that the 500 was not run on Memorial Day weekend at the Brickyard. So a different day of sports, but I enjoyed the golf and then the NASCAR with Brad Keselowski honoring Sergeant Reap, who was the name on his car. I hope that you enjoyed it too. What did you think? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. And then who do you honor and remember on this Memorial Day weekend? Coming up, Pete Prisco, NFL on CBS, well, NFL, CBS Sports reporter and senior writer, and we'll pick his brain about the return of football and what's happening in this stage right now as they're still doing their OTAs remotely.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The voice of Aaron Donald, one of the best defensive players in the NFL, chewing over the concept of playing football games in 2020 with no fans in the stands. And he doesn't like it at all. He can't even imagine or fathom what it would be like to not have fans in the stands. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're pleased to welcome Pete Prisco, who covers all things NFL for CBS Sports. And every now and then we get a chance to cross paths with him. Pete, there are a lot of different concepts about what football could look like when it returns. What plan, idea, concept makes sense to you as the NFL tries to get back to the point where they can reopen facilities and grind into gear?
Well, I think one of the toughest things to do will be balancing the competitive situation, because when you look at it, you know, in Florida, Tennessee, and Georgia and other states, you could open up, but in places like New York and maybe Michigan and other places, you can't. So I think that's going to be a challenge for the NFL as much as anything, trying to figure out competitive balance with the way teams can come in and work and everything else. But I think, you know, for the most part, I think ready to move forward, ready to go.
It's kind of funny. It seemed very transparent when the governors of New York and California kind of put their hands in the air and said, ooh, 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 we're open and available for sports as well, happening last week.
Yeah, that was interesting, and I think you're seeing more and more pressure because a state like Georgia did open up, and there hasn't been a spike like many predicted, and now there's, you know, many more of these governors are looking around saying, hey, maybe it is time to open back up.
The NFL's big on the level playing field concept, Pete, and they go sometimes so overboard about level playing field that it gets a little bit ridiculous. But in this particular case, is there a situation where the NFL might have to accept that not everyone is on the same playing field when it comes to stadiums and fans and even home field advantage?
Well, it just depends on where we get to as we get closer to training camp. I think for the most part, you know, we're going to see stuff shut down no mini camps and that type of situation and OTAs until training camp. And I think that's probably the right way to handle it. But, you know, guys got to work out, and they have to be able to get together and throw and work on things. So I think individually they'll get together and do it. It might be tougher from a team standpoint to get on the field and, you know, run 11-on-11. So that could be a problem. But I do think competitive balance is important, and they probably do lean strongly to making sure that it stays that way, and this situation should be no different. So I think they're going to keep monitor the hot spots, monitor New York, monitor Michigan, monitor Pennsylvania, those, you know, California, what's California going to do? And then see what we can do going forward and hope that everybody can get back into their facilities and start practicing.
So, Pete, the question I think is really fascinating is if they end up going through almost the entire offseason until training camp remotely, which side of the ball does it favor? Does it favor offense? Does it favor defense? And I've talked to some defensive guys, and they say absolutely it favors the defense. But yet we've seen that there are quarterbacks out there that are working with some of their receivers and at least, you know, able to throw the football. What do you think about the creativity of some of the ways that these players are navigating the stay-at-home orders?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, guys have to stay in shape, and they're doing all kinds of different things. You know, that Peloton bike's become a big deal. I think now you're seeing guys get out and get, you know, throw, like you mentioned. You saw Brady throwing with his guys, and that's going to be more and more people doing that. You know, does it favor the offense or the defense? Hey, all those defensive players who say it favors the defense, remember, you don't tackle. And that's one of the flaws of the NFL early in the season, right? The tackling is so bad early in the season when they are in camps and in the off season. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. But I think the advantage would go to the defense, but those guys don't tackle. And sometimes it's sloppy and it leads to a lot of big plays.
That's true. I forgot we're at the 2020 NFL where tackling is considered old school. Pete Prisco, CBS Sports, with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So we recently find out that Joe Flacco has found a new home, and he's got a one-year deal with the New York Jets. Still nothing with Cam Newton. Pete, what fit is left for Cam? What else is out there?
Well, I think it's going to be a backup situation, and I think his medicals are holding it up. I think when you look at his medicals, he's one of those guys, you got to bring him in and take a look at him, and right now nobody's doing that. So I think as much as anything, that's hindering his ability to get a job. But the other thing is, too, Cam Newton views himself as a starter. Is he okay? Now, he said that, but is he truly okay being a backup, and where would he be okay being a backup? Pittsburgh? I mean, maybe that would make some sense. In Pittsburgh, if he could back up Ben Roethlisberger, that's a situation that would seem to fit. But again, I think the medical situation is what's holding him back right now.
It was kind of fascinating. I laughed. I can't help it. But the idea of Dak Prescott's camp requesting $45 million, either for year five or for every year of the deal he would get from the Cowboys, I think that's laughable. But maybe I'm just completely out of touch. As we look at the quarterback market, we know that the Chiefs are planning to break the bank on Patrick Mahomes. But what's the latest you've heard about the Dak deal?
Yeah, I don't think that $45 million was accurate. I'll be honest with you. I don't think they're going to go to that. I think the latest is that they're haggling over years. He wants four, they want five, understandably so. If you pay a franchise quarterback, you'd like to keep him locked under your ability to keep him for 5 years. So it makes sense. I think they'll eventually work it out. I don't think they're that far apart. My gut feeling tells me he'll probably end up signing a five-year deal that averages $36, $35 million, $37 million, somewhere in there. And then Patrick Mahomes will break the bank and go, you know, to 42, 43. When he does his. But I think they'll get the deal done. I think they'd like to get the deal done. And if you're Dak Prescott, you'd be foolish to turn down that kind of money.
Well, I was going to ask you then, who's got the leverage? Who's got the advantage if we get down to that July 15th deadline?
Oh, I think the team always has the advantage. I mean, because they can make him play for the tag. He doesn't want to play for the tag. And people say, oh, it's okay. We've seen guys play for the tag and it worked out for him. Sure we have, but ideally, you don't want to do that because if you play for the tag and, God forbid, something major happened to you injury-wise, then you're not going to see the rest of that money. So I think he wants to work it out. I think they want to work it out, which is why in this situation, I think they ultimately will work it out.
Pete, we've seen the NFL come up with this really strange idea for the fourth untimed down. And I don't know, it seems a little gimmicky to me. But what do you think? What do you think about the NFL adding some gimmicks to what we could see on the field?
You mean taking the onside kick out of the game?
Yeah.
I like it. I think the onside kick is terrible right now. The way it used to be, you could get it, but it was dangerous. I once saw a player, and I was on the other side of the stadium back when the Bengals played at Riverfront Stadium, and the Jaguars were playing them late in the game, and Tom Coughlin tried an onside kick, and I was on the opposite side of the stadium, and I heard the crack. Some guy, by I remember his name. His name was Dave Thomas. He was a defensive back. He broke his femur on an onside kick, and it sounded like a baseball bat breaking a piece of wood. And so I think the NFL did the right thing by eliminating those dangerous parts of the play, but then the play became boring. This will become exciting. I think, you know, you get a 4th and 15 with Patrick Mahomes to fire a rifle shot. I like it. I'm okay with that.
Right, and Andy Reid says that with his quarterback, that would be an option. But come on, how many teams out there do you think would actually do it?
I think the majority of them would, to be honest with you. You saw last year, nobody recovered onside kicks. Nobody.
I guess then I'm going to have to get on board with the gimmick. I'm just going to have to join the crowd. Pete Prisco is CBS Sports with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. The idea of having football stadiums with no fans is also one that a lot of people are talking about. Have you been in a stadium that's been relatively empty where you could kind of imagine what this would be like?
Yeah, and it'll be weird. I mean, you're going to hear a lot of stuff. And again, though, Amy, it's a TV game. And nobody wants to admit that anymore because of the pomp and circumstance of going to the stadium and tailgating and everything else. But let's be real. It's become a TV game. And so would you rather risk having fans and maybe losing out later in the season or don't have them for a month and play on through TV? I think the majority of people would say, let's play on. They can still play fantasy. Bettors can still bet on the game. And you can still see all the games. So I do think that if that's an option, they'll play on without fans.
What, in your opinion, should be the stop sign, if there is one? If we get to the point where maybe football starts and early on it's no fans, whatever, limited capacity, but should there be a stop sign in there somewhere where if something, some particular thing happens that the NFL has to shut it down? I mean, can you imagine a scenario like that?
Yeah, I mean, if an outbreak happened to the point where young people were starting to die, and I'm not, you know, pointing out that, God, it's tragic no matter who dies, but the majority of people who have died so far are the elderly, and many of them in the nursing home. So,
right.
But if it got to the point where young people were dying, and it was impacting things that way, then I think the NFL would have to step back and say, hey, wait a second here. This is not a good situation. We got to be better, and maybe it's not right to be playing.
We've heard from Adam Silver of the NBA and even with Major League Baseball that if there is a positive test, they have to be okay with the idea that they're not going to shut everything down, kind of like the association did when Rudy Gobert got hurt. When you're talking about the NFL, these guys are all, you know, blood, sweat, all over each other. I mean, it's a real legit contact sport, which is different than, say, Major League Baseball. Can you imagine the players being used to that idea, though? I mean, is that something that they would have to adjust to? That, hey, if there's positive tests, we still have to play on.
Well, I mean, okay, I'm going to use the flu as an example. If two players on a team have a flu and they go out and play and tackle somebody else, they're going to give the guy on the opposition probably the flu. And yeah, this is impacted much worse than a lot of flu, some people will say. Some people will argue that it hasn't. Because it's not impacting the children as much as a flu would in terms of death. So I don't think it's going to be as crazy as we're portraying it in some situations. And I'm not saying you, I'm just saying in general.
Right.
You know, there's a fear out there as much as anything. Everybody's fearful. We don't know. Nobody knows. That's the fear. And so I think that's going to impact things moving forward. Everybody's saying now, well, tests are going, you know, there's a spike here and a spike there. Well, the more testing you do, the more numbers you're going to get. I mean, we, for the majority of people out there, a lot of us could have been walking around, you know, asymptomatic and be testing positive for it. We don't know. We never knew. So that's where I get in and get caught up in all this stuff. I just want, A, like everybody else, I'd love to see it go away. I'd love to see the economy come back. I'd love to see people working again. And I'd love to see people, you know, not dying because of it. So if we can get to that, that would be the best thing of all.
And I think you make such a valid point, which is a lot of times as humans, at least for me, I can deal so much better with the known, even if it is scary. But if I know what I'm dealing with, I can prepare for it. It's different when we don't have any answers to any of our questions.
Well, not only that, they kept pushing it and pushing it. Okay, it's going to be 2 weeks. And people said, okay, I'll shut down for 2 weeks. Then it got to 4 weeks, and we'll shut down for 4 weeks. And then it kept pushing and pushing, and in some areas of this country, it wasn't even a factor. And they shut down, and people lost their jobs. Look, I understand there were people losing their lives. It is a bad situation, but sometimes you got to counterbalance that with what's going on in terms of people losing their jobs, too. And I think it's a tough balance, and I think for the most part, I'd like to believe we're behind the worst of it, and let's move forward.
Pete Prisco with us here after hours, CBS Sports Radio. How equipped is the NFL to handle a season where there might not be the same revenue?
Oh, I think they can handle it. You know, as long as the TV dollars are coming in, I think that's the most important thing. And, you know, you don't want to have to go give back money when it relates to TV. You want to be able to play. And you'll lose revenue from the tickets. But this is more about, you'll still generate money from a bunch of other revenue streams. You're going to lose the in-house stadium stuff probably if there's no fans. But they'll be okay. You know, look, this league knows how to make money. They've done it for a long time. People criticize them for moving forward with free agency. It was really well done, and it was a breath of fresh air at a time when I think fans needed it. They got criticized for having the draft, and I thought it was one of the best drafts that they've ever had, and it was a good thing for the country. So everybody can rip the NFL all they want, but all they do is keep doing a lot of things the right way. And I think both of those situations taught us that they can move forward in a tough situation and still be able to do it.
All right, Pete, before I let you go, I recently asked my listeners if they're in a situation where they're still kind of staying at home and not a lot of businesses have reopened yet. We all miss something, right? So I miss my favorite Thai food restaurant. What do you miss? What's something that when you have the opportunity, you're making a beeline to go do?
Well, since I live in Broward County, Florida, it's one of two counties in the state that hasn't opened the beaches yet. And I ride my bike by there every day. And it torments me. I can't wait to be able to sit on a beach, read a book, jump in the water, snorkel around, and relax. I can't wait for that. That's what I'm missing the most.
Oh, that sounds blissful. All right, you can follow Pete on Twitter at PriscoCBS, senior NFL columnist for CBSSports.com. You'll always catch him on CBS Sports HQ, and we're always excited when we have a chance to have him on the show. Pete, thanks so much. Really good to talk to you.
All right, Amy. Take care.
Pete Prisco with a wide-ranging conversation about everything from getting players back in the facilities and what could shut down the NFL if it starts the season, who has the advantage, offense or defense, to what he misses the most. And I know there are some people able to enjoy various beaches in the South now, the Southeast specifically, though there are others where the beaches are still closed and we're waiting anxiously. That would include me. I always love my beach days once the summer comes, and Memorial Day for a lot of people is the unofficial start to the summer season. So I hope that you have some plans with family and friends, loved ones, and that you don't have to be distant wherever you are over this Memorial Day weekend. Who do you honor and remember on Twitter, A Law Radio, on our Facebook page as well? It's really good to hear from you.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It was a deluge in Florida and then later in Charlotte, but both the events that we were looking forward to as sports fans did go off with not much of a hitch. We had the match two, actually, depending on which hashtag you were using on Twitter, but it was really the second version of the match, last year's being Phil and Tiger. But there wasn't nearly as much buzz about that one as there was about this foursome that included Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. And it was kind of fun to get the stories and the trash talk, as well as really being able to eavesdrop on their conversations about various shots. And the coaching styles were very different from Phil to Brady, and then Tiger, who is pretty much hands off and doesn't talk a whole lot. I mean, he would tell stories. He would talk with the various broadcasters. He and Barkley went back and forth, but really didn't talk much except to root Manning on and maybe give him a tip or two on the green. So it was really neat to, as I say, to eavesdrop and to kind of hear these guys. For Phil and Tiger, in their element, especially for Tiger, this was on his home course and he was locked in, but also to see Tom and Peyton out of their arenas in which they are most comfortable. And both of them admitted they were supremely nervous. Tom Brady had to be muted a few times because of the language, which I didn't think was necessary. It's TNT, for heaven's sake. They air these words all the time, but maybe it had something to do with the hour of the day. And then with Peyton Manning, who generally doesn't have real bad language. I mean, I think he's pretty trained and coached up, and he has a little more self-discipline. But he did at one point miss a gimme putt and say, "You jerk," like just to himself. So his humor is hysterical. It made me laugh out loud. And then the self-deprecating element, which he's always incorporated, that was pretty funny. And then to see his brother, Eli, who just joined Twitter, posting his comments throughout the match, that was also pretty entertaining. And guys like J.J. Watt, who joined the broadcast, and other various celebrities and well-known members of the sports world chiming in on social media. I thought the whole package was really entertaining. And they were at it long before they got to the course on Sunday, because Saturday they played a practice round, the four of them, and they did it with the microphones and with the earpieces to try to get used to the extra equipment. I don't even know how they would swing like that. I mean, sure, Tiger and Phil are more used to it, but at one point, Brady, in fact, I think it was the shot he holed out from the fairway on the seventh, he took a swing and all of his equipment just came like flying off of his waist, and the microphone was hanging down the mic pack. And so they had to get used to that. So they were doing a practice run on Saturday, and TNT mic'd them up and allowed us to hear some of their exchanges from Saturday during the early rain delay. And there was one point where Phil Mickelson was trying to talk Tiger Woods into a longest drive competition. And Tiger's like, "Against you, I don't have a chance." And Phil responds with, "Dude, I'm 50. In 3 weeks, I'm going to be Champions Tour eligible." So it was really funny to hear them go back and forth. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. What did you think of the match? And also on our Facebook page, where even before we started the show, I actually posted on Facebook during the match, and hundreds of you have responded. So whether you loved it or you hated it, I think the majority of you have posted really positive comments. Many of you were tuned in for at least part of it, if not the whole thing, like me. And when I had to go walk the dog, I even put the match on pause so I wouldn't end up missing anything, any of the funny exchanges. And it's a good thing I did, because while I was walking the dog, not only did Tom Brady hole out on the seventh, but he also split his pants. Had to wear his rain gear the rest of the way. So what did you think? Twitter or Facebook, and then our phone number, 855-212-4227. If you're really into golf now and you're looking for more, you can join Michael Breed as he tees off on the top headlines in the world of golf. Watch A Course Record with Michael Breed coming up on Monday morning at 11 Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on CBS Sports Network. 855-212-4227. In my conversation with Pete Prisco, I mentioned that the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, as well as the governor of California, even the governor of Texas, they have started to plead almost with pro sports teams to be able to bring their franchises and their athletes back to their states to be able to open the facilities. And so Andrew Cuomo, we'll hear from him after the top of the hour. He was the latest to kind of make a plea on Sunday. And because he did so, the Brooklyn Nets are getting ready to reopen their facility coming up on Tuesday, I believe, following the Memorial Day holiday. So we're starting to see more and more of the facilities open around the country and athletes getting back to workouts, whether it's right now just using the weight rooms or shooting the basketball. It's happening slowly. And as that takes place for NFL facilities, for NBA, for NHL, well, then you've got these plans, these ideas that the NBA specifically is hoping to come up with a particular concept that will work. So we'll give you the latest straight ahead.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.